Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Box off. You got your Bibles, take your Bibles out. We are about to delve into the Word of God, and I am really trusting that there is going to be so much revelation and expectation this morning that your life will never be the same again. The series that we have started this week is for the next 4 weeks is Jesus the Person. We are talking about Jesus the Person. We want you to know Jesus personally. We want you to know His character, His heart, His mission. And each week we will emphasize something different, a different aspect of Jesus. We're talking about today. We're talking about Friday, Good Friday, Good Friday. And we're talking about Resurrection Sunday, as well as the week after that. We're inviting you into a deeper relationship with Him. That's my whole heart is by the time we are finished with this series, which is for the next 4 weeks, we will love Him more. We will. I want you to love Him more. Now, week one, this week, I have the amazing privilege of talking about Jesus, the Son of Man, His humanity. His humanity. This has been a long process in my life. It's been a very long process for me to get to a place where I have a slight grasp of what this means. I've wrestled with it. But I do believe that I have a better understanding about it. And in that process, I've actually grown in my identity as a son of God. Who knows that we cannot just know that we are sons and daughters. We need to know that we are sons and daughters. Because it's got to come from the knowledge to the heart. Because when we know it here, we will walk accordingly. We will walk accordingly. So my heart is that we will all get to know Jesus. That's the bottom line. And fall in love with Him. And do what He said we will do. Which we read in John 14 verses 12. Whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing. And they will. Say will. They will do even greater things than these, because I am going to My Father. Jesus said that we will do greater things than what He did. He did pretty phenomenal things. Yeah, the church needs to be seen and to be doing the greater things. So my goal, what is my goal today? My goal is to challenge. That's what I do. My goal is to challenge your thought pattern. My goal is to challenge your way of thinking. That thinking, that stinking thinking that says I cannot be used for the greater because I'm not good enough, that is a lie from the pits of hell. The other thing that is normally and very, very much in the back of our minds is this, that you know what, Jesus, when He was here, He did miracles and He did signs and He did wonders. Because He was God, and therefore it was easy for Him, so I can't do them. You're trying to get rid of that assignment that you have to do greater things. No, no, no. That too is also a lie from the pit of hell. So today, I'm going to attempt to challenge that thinking. I think I got it right in the first service, so I'm hoping that I'm going to get it right here as well, because I want us to have some clarity. I want you to see another side of Jesus, so to speak, that you are aware of that limitation that you have had. You know, you may not even have a grid for what I'm about to share, but what I'm about to share is all about His humanity. Say, humanity. We need help. Let's ask Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help. We need to understand. We need to understand. Help us, show us, reveal to us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. You would agree with me that when we read Scripture, we find two phrases referring to Jesus. The first is Jesus, the Son of God. The second is Jesus, the Son of Man. Both take note, are sons of. Sons of. So through this, we are confirming that he is fully God and he is fully man. I'm not saying anything different. He is fully God and he is fully man. Am I right, though, to assume that we have a better grasp on Jesus being the Son of God than we have on Jesus being the Son of man? Yes? Okay. Can I suggest that it is so within the church because the church leaders and the church teachers are cautious or even afraid to teach on the subject of Jesus, the Son of Man, because it is not the easiest topic to preach on. So therefore, we put it in a too hard basket and we ignore it. But we have to realize that that actually plays into the arms or into the strategy of the enemy because he is trying to stop the church from understanding this concept that Jesus was the Son of Man because this empowers the church from walking in their true identity as sons and daughters. So today I'm putting on my big boy pants and I'm going to attempt to unpack this, all right? So let me start by asking a question. What does Jesus is the Son of Man mean? Has anybody ever stopped and studied this? What does it really mean? Let me answer. It means he fully identified with humanity. It means he is God in human form. John 1:14 is the scripture. The word became what? Flesh. And made his dwelling amongst us. Jesus, who is the eternal word, he is God, took on flesh and dwelled amongst us. This is not something that is partial. This is not something that is symbolic. He wasn't half God and half man. He was human. Full stop. He was human. Let me elaborate. Do you realize he was born by natural birth? I'm talking about human birth. Mary was his mother. Newsflash. There was nothing, absolutely nothing supernatural to the pregnancy or the birth. Mary carried Jesus for 9 months. She most probably endured morning sickness, as many mums do. She and Joseph, as she was lying down, most probably watched in Mary's womb and stomach, the stomach moving around and him doing somersaults and pressing out on those kind of things, I'm sure would have happened. Folks, she was pregnant. She looked pregnant. She most probably even felt pregnant with all the aches and the pains that every pregnant, expectant mum actually goes through. The only bit in this whole story that was supernatural was the conception. You see, Mary was a virgin. God intervenes, but then the supernatural plan started. Jesus was born naturally. Foreign concept. Jesus suckled or nursed like a normal baby. Jesus had wings, top and bottom, like a normal baby. Jesus most probably projectiled sour milk, like a normal baby. Jesus would have had to learn to walk and run and talk. He would have maybe even fallen and grazed his knees. Back then, they did not have Band-Aids, but they would have had something. They would have experienced the teething season, you know, with those yuck, stinky nappies and all the mums who got the kids are like, oh, yeah. Dads, that's where I signed out. I just went, sorry, Paulina, this is your baby. And when he was all clean or she was all clean, I took them back and, coo, you're so gorgeous. As he grew up, Jesus, he would have gone through puberty. He would have felt hunger. He would have felt fatigue. He felt sorrow. He had temptation. Like every single human being that walks on the planet on this earth. You getting my point? He was human. Hold on. JJ, this is making me so uncomfortable. I told you I was going to challenge you. I know. It makes me uncomfortable. It's a foreign concept. It's a concept, a foreign concept that I share, one that I wrestle with. But folks, this is real. These are the facts that we overlook when we think about Jesus, because our minds cannot comprehend God and human together. Our minds cannot comprehend that, but it is biblical. Philippians 2 verses 6 to 8, and I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation this morning because it simplifies it. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Verse 7, instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing, the key word, choosing to be revealed as a man and was obedient. Let's unpack this. Let's unpack this line by line. He existed in the form of God. This actually means to us that Jesus already existed as God. And as God, he had the power, he had the glory, he had the authority of heaven. So the scripture is saying to us, he was God. He was already God. Verse 6b, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. The scholars, you know those clever guys, the theologians that take this and dissect it, those scholars describe that as the fact that they saw Jesus, that Jesus saw his being God as something to be given away. Some others use the phrase laid it down. He laid down his divinity. Others refer to it that he drew a veil in front of it. His divinity. The Passion Translation in verse 7 says this, instead he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. The New King James Version in verse 7a says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. It was God's decision. He chose. It was God's decision. He decided to empty himself. He decided to make himself of no reputation. He willingly became human, a human being on our behalf, relinquishing, I say that cautiously, relinquishing, drawing a veil in front of him, his glory, but yet retaining his deity. It's difficult to understand, I know, but this is the reality of it all. This is where it seems to get controversial, because people ask the question then, did he then stop being God? The answer is no. You wanted an answer? The answer is no. It's difficult, though, to put an English word in there. Relinquish is not the word, but people talk about it. Laying it aside is not actually the better word. Putting a veil up, it makes me, JJ, feel a little bit more comfortable. But the words in the New King James Version, which says likeness of men, suggests he was really a man. This is the word of God. He was really, really, like genuinely a man. Another way to look at this is that when he came to earth, he didn't cling to his divine privileges, nor did he grasp for recognition or status. Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable with that. Jesus didn't see equality with God as something to exploit for personal gain. I get it. Sounds better. Instead, it was servanthood. So he laid it all down, and it was servanthood. It was, which is a true expression of his divine nature. It was a servanthood that drove him to lay that all aside. And as the Passion Translation says, he became human. This is how I summarize it. He chose to lay it all down, choosing humility over honor, service over status, the cross over the crown. Do we understand it? Totally. No, we don't understand it. Do the theologians understand it? Do the scholars understand it? No. They try. They try and give us a better description. But you know what? To not understand it in totality is okay. It's okay to be in that spot. I give you permission because I've been there. I've been there for how many years? I'm still there. I don't really understand it. Because the problem is when we try and understand God, we would want to put him in a box. And then we would also want to try and dictate on what his next move is going to be. He's too majestic. We cannot understand him. But I don't want us as a family to get stuck into trying to fathom him out. I want us to use this knowledge that I've shared about his humanity as a foundation to see something else, which I'm hoping will open our eyes to the enormity actually of what he did. And I've put this together. Jesus, the Son of God, stripped himself of divine privilege and stepped into humanity. Not to show off, but to show us the way. Crucial. He lived fully dependent on the Father, fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. And here's the point. Here's what I want us to get. Modeling a lifestyle that is possible for every believer, including you and me, to live. He wants us, he modeled a lifestyle that you and I can participate in and live in. No excuses, no excuses. Just surrender, power, and purpose. Are we doing okay? Let me unpack this. How am I going to unpack this? I'm going to unpack this to help us understand about the model by asking questions and unpacking scripture, other scripture further. Luke 3, verses 21 to 23. When all the people were baptized, I'm just reading out the NIV, Jesus was baptized too. In 23 it says, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old and he began his ministry. When did Jesus' ministry start? That's the question. At the age of 30, approximately. Here's another question. What marked the beginning of his ministry? The answer is sandwiched between those two verses. In 21b to 22, and as he was praying, heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. What's my point? Have a look at this. At his baptism, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. The voice of the Father affirmed, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Then the scripture says that was the beginning of his ministry. Putting it another way, okay, let's go there. It's going to push a couple of buttons. As a man, Jesus, the Son of Man, as a man, he was baptized with water, dunked. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. And because of that, became a son of God, small letter S, son of God, receiving the power of the ministry that is then acknowledged by the Father as his son. Controversial, I know. Hold it, hold in there. Let's look at the model that we currently follow. We are fallen. Humanity is fallen. Eve decided to eat the apple. She gave it to Adam. He ate the apple. God's knocking, naughty, naughty. Fallen, out of the garden. So we're far from God. Orphans, right? No father. As we journey in life, we become convicted by Holy Spirit, which Holy Spirit was sent by God, all right? We are convicted by Holy Spirit. So what happens when we give, when we are convicted by Holy Spirit, we give our lives to? Thank you. We give our lives to? What happens when we give our lives to Jesus? There's this thing that happens that we don't understand in the natural. It's a supernatural thing. It's called we are born again. How are we born again? When we believe, the Holy Spirit enters our lives, makes us spiritually alive because we've been spiritually dead. He adopts us into God's families. He empowers us to live a transformed life. Another way of looking at this is we become sons, small letter S, of God. The model Jesus went through is the model we go through. We get in this. This is huge. Model Jesus went through. He walked, baptized, dunked under the water, came up, prayed. Power of the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. His father says, this is my son. His ministry started. We're walking. We're everywhere. We're in pubs and clubs. We're far from God. Holy Spirit convicts us. We get come invited to Easter service. JJ's talking about the story of Jesus. I'm convicted. I give my life to Jesus. Holy Spirit comes, makes me alive. I'm born again, only by Holy Spirit. I'm engrafted into the family as a son of God. Same model. We all good? Romans 8:14 is our scripture. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Spirit of adoption, adoption is the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit. By which you are called sons. Spirit of adoption. Jesus' life modeled it. Now we follow the same process, so to speak. Next question. Could Jesus just do anything significant from the beginning? The answer is no. John 5, verse 19, Passion Translation. So Jesus said, I speak to you a timeless truth, meaning then, now, forevermore. Timeless truth. The Son is not able to do anything from himself or through my own initiative. He's talking about himself. I only do the works that I see the Father doing. The reality is, we're talking to Jesus here. Reality, as God, he could do anything. As God, he could call down the 1,000, 10,000, 20,000 angels, but he chose not to. As Jesus, the Son of God, he could take himself off the cross, but he chose not to. As Jesus, the Son of God, he chose not to show off as God in front of Satan. He chose not, as Jesus of God, to do all the things that were at his disposal as God. Jesus here in the scripture highlights to us, he chose to live in that restricted limitation place. However, the next part says, I only do the works I see the Father do. Because of his dependency on the Father, there are no limitations. Because of his dependency on the Father, there is no limitation. I only see what the Father sees, and I only do what the Father sees. No limitations. He highlights, though, that he chose to live as a man, Jesus, the Son of Man, in the restricted place, in that restricted place. But Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:13, and that's for you and I can do how much? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Passion Translation says this: I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. And you shall receive power when who comes upon you? Holy Spirit. What are we talking here? I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power, Holy Spirit, infuses me to conquer every difficulty. What is the key? The key is dependency on the Father. And through the presence of the Holy Spirit, through the explosive power, the explosive power of God, we can do all things. Again, highlighting this, that I'm trying us to see, that living according to the model Jesus gave, we walk as conquerors, overcoming every difficult circumstance that we face. How? Dependent on the Father, empowered by Holy Spirit. Last question. Did Jesus go through everything that we went through and go through? The answer is yes. Hebrews 4, verse 15. New King James Version. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We do not have a high priest. When was Jesus appointed as high priest? After his ascension. After his ascension, all right? So we do not have a high priest. I mean, we're talking about afterwards. But as he was walking here, the important word that we need to note there is the word sympathize. Sympathize. Why? Because in the Greek, sympathize means more than feeling sorry. In the Greek, the word sympathize actually means to suffer with or to be moved by the same feelings. Wow. He isn't distant or disconnected from the human experience. Folks, he knows what it feels like to be tired. He knows what it feels like to be misunderstood. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed and tempted and lonely. He even knows what it feels like to be afraid. Why? Because he walked on this earth as Jesus, the Son of Man. I hope we're getting this. I hope also that this is actually comforting to know that Jesus isn't just patient with our weaknesses. He personally identifies with them because he's walked where we are now walking. And you know what was amazing about Jesus? He never gave up. This is a word for somebody. He never gave in. He never gave up. He pushed in. He pushed through. He persevered. He fulfilled the mission to live a sinless, pure life in every way. Let's look at us. Remember, we've looked at him, asked the question, and then we look at us. Because he modeled, because Jesus modeled a life as a Son of Man that endured everything and overcame sin, he comes and he gives us this model and he gives us the strength to overcome as well. No matter what you're facing, You are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. Why? Jesus modeled it. I need to live it. If I've got any questions in life, I look back to him who walked as Jesus, the Son of Man, and who modeled it for us to walk out. No more excuses. No more excuses. None of us have got excuses. I conclude with this. I trust that you can see Jesus chose to live this earthly life with human limitation, putting aside his divinity. Philippians 2:7 says he emptied himself of his outward glory, putting aside his divinity. Why? To fulfill the assignment given to him by the Father, which was what? Two things. The first is live life as a man without sin and then die in the place of mankind for sin. We're going to unpack that on Friday. Live life in the place as a man. Live life as a man without sin. Crucial, important. And then die in the place of mankind for sin. The second assignment was this. And this is what I hope that you're going to get. You're getting. He came to model a lifestyle for you and I, that you and I can embrace as sons of God, sons and daughters of God, small s, small d, sons and daughters of God, advancing his kingdom, taking back the territory that the enemy has stolen, and living in the abundance that he has brought. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief only comes to steal, kill, destroy, but I have come to give life, and that in abundance. That's not just words on paper. That's what he wants to do for your life. He wants to give you. No. He's giving you the life of abundance. He wants you walking in it. If I come today and I give you a gift, give Gail a gift. I don't give Gail a gift for her to sit and look at it for the rest of her life. It's wrapped up. It's got a ribbon on it, pink ribbon. It's heavy. My gosh, she knows there's something in here. But if she's going to look at it constantly without opening it, it means absolutely nothing. But as soon as she opens it, she sees in there's keys to the latest Jaguar. You think she's going to be sitting here? She would have been out there. Wheeling away, yeah. Excuse the sound effects, they are disgusting, but anyway. You get the idea. We're getting the idea. The abundance is there. He's modeled this life as Jesus, the Son of Man. We can't confuse that with God. Like I said in the beginning, there's nothing supernatural in that. He laid that aside to model as a man. So therefore, if he models as a man, you can walk in that model. You can walk in that model. Can I mimic God? No, I can't. Can I follow an example? Yes, I can. So who's your example in healing the sick? Jesus, Son of Man. Who's your example in opening the eyes of blind people? Jesus, the Son of Man. Who's your example in cleansing lepers? Jesus, the Son of Man. Who's your example in raising the dead? Jesus, the Son of Man. Who's your example in going up to the mountain and spending time with the Father? Jesus, the Son of Man. He knew he had to spend time with the Father because in his own strength, he could not do and fulfill the mission that he was told, asked to do. Remember, he did not go and spend time with the Father as Jesus, the Son of God. He spent as Jesus, the Son of Man. It's different. His humanity is real. It's not just something we think about, but we don't. No, no, no. I'm unpacking so that we can grasp this. Because I tell you, when I realize, oh my gosh, that gives me the boldness to step out of the boat and walk on the water. That gives me the boat to go, oh my gosh, I'm going to start this business. I am just going to let go and go, whoop, whoop. What's it called? How do you spell? Faith, R-I-S-K, risk. I take risks. Why? Because he modeled. Here's my challenge. Have I challenged you enough? Anybody challenge? Okay, some of you are. Some of you are like, oh my gosh. Here's my challenge, last challenge. Stop being a spectator. That's easy. Stop being a spectator. Stop being an observer of the divine plan. Observer. Divine plan is written right here in the Word, between these covers. The divine plan is here, not for us to read and just tick the box and think, that's pretty cool. That's cool. The divine plan is here for us to live it out. I was saying to a family, so God ordained. I finished up, rushed off, went to the bathroom, came out, and this family is standing in the passageway. They're not meant to be in the passageway, this little passageway behind you. Somehow they're there. And we started talking, realized who they were. They are going through the biggest challenge of their lives. Young family, 3 kids, the biggest challenge of their lives. And here we started talking and how this brought the revelation to them. And I said to them, you know what? No matter what the hurdle is, no matter what the mountain looks like, there's no challenge greater than the challenge that Jesus had to face. Laying down, being whipped with a cat of nine tails, his flesh being literally ripped off, that his rib cage showed. I know this is gruesome, kids around. Intestines hanging out. That's how bad it was. Even worse, we cannot comprehend. But yet he got off of that. He walked down the Via Dolorosa. He walked down carrying that cross, falling, smashing his face, carrying that cross, falling to get to the ultimate, which was to climb on the cross. He wasn't forced onto the cross. He didn't resist getting onto the cross. I'm giving my message from Sunday. He climbed onto that cross. He climbed onto the cross. There's no challenge that we face. He modeled it. He modeled it. He modeled it. And because he modeled it, he gave you and I a model. You can walk those roads. You can make it. And also you should. You should. You and I have a responsibility to pursue the lifestyle, to pursue that model that Jesus put in our place. We have a responsibility. Don't say, oh, the person next door to me has that responsibility. You have that responsibility. Why? Because there's somebody out there that needs you. I need you. I need every single one of you to start working and functioning according to that model. Why? Because when you function according to that, I'm a better person for it. What are you talking about, JJ? Have a look at this arm. It says that we are the body of Christ, right? That means if you look at my body, man, I got bones and tendons and you name it. I got freckles, I got skin, I got blood veins happening. You cut me, I'm going to be bleeding. But if this bone here breaks or is removed, I had somebody come out for prayer today saying that there was somebody that got injured. They might lose their finger. If somebody loses their finger, who knows that the hand's got to learn to hold again? If I lose my arm, guess what goes with it? The whole hand. If the arm is not functioning, what suffers? The hand? No. The whole body. And the Bible says to us that each one of us have a role to play in the family, in the body of Christ. What are you? Are you an eyelash? Are you an ear hole? Are you the nose? I don't know. But you're part of a body and the body needs you. I need you. Church, hear what I'm saying. I cannot change this community. I can't. By myself. But we can. We can. You can. I can. But JJ, you don't know. I might not know. But I look at the model. Because this that we have is temporary. The car you have is temporary. The house you have is temporary. It's temporary. One day we're laying it all aside. Because what is here, you know, that designer clothing, you ain't taking it with you. Just letting you know. Even those sunnies, they're not going with you. They're staying right here. Let's stop being spectators and observers. Let's be a participator. I need help. I know you need help. Who's my helper? If I go to Scripture, my helper is Holy Spirit. Nobody else. Paulina can give me her advice and she can give me her opinion, which is always good. Always good. But opinions don't matter. Advice doesn't matter. What is Holy Spirit saying? I need help. And I know we need help. Have I mastered walking in this model? Heck no. I need help every day. And every day when I read this, even sitting for 3 weeks on this message, 3 weeks, trying to bring this enormity of this message to a bite size that we can at least sow the seed. And I hope that has happened today. Sow the seed. Get us thinking. My idea is to challenge you to think differently. I'm not giving you solutions. I'm not a solution. I'm a challenger. Give you the word. You go and chew on it. Be like a cow. Chew your cud over the next week. Those are listening. I was chewing, making it as if I was a cow. Anyway. But in the moment, we need help. I want to give this invite because in the first service, I didn't know how Holy Spirit wanted to work and He showed me. Amongst us here, we're going, okay, JJ, I haven't been living according to the model, but I want to. I just don't know how to. Well, my answer to you is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the only one that can help you. Holy Spirit is the only one. And I want to invite us. If you're here this morning and you say, I need that, JJ. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. I want you to pray for me to get Holy Spirit to help me. I want to ask you to stand to your feet right there where you are. Stand right now. Don't linger. Don't wait. Just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and we'll pray. Don't look around. Doesn't matter about the person next to you, behind you. This is you, people. This is for you and you only. You only. Right across this place, there's people standing, saying, I need help. I need help. It's not too late. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. I need help, Holy Spirit. Just hold your hands out. So I really believe there's going to be a transference that's going to happen this morning. I thank you, Jesus. Father, we come. We stand in front of you. I myself am standing. Because we declare together, we are dependent, reliant on you, Holy Spirit. We see the model that you have given us. You are such a good God. You are so beautiful. You are such a good Father. Such a good Father to give us a model such as this that we can live accordingly, because you do have the best in mind for us. Holy Spirit, right now I pray that you will touch each person standing from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, that you will infuse them with so much confidence, so much boldness, so much love, so much joy, that their life will never be the same. Right now, Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, now, upon them, right now, that they would even sense the fire of God flowing through them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Thank you for your power. Power, power, empower them. Holy Spirit, you are power. You empower them right now. I break off disappointment. I break off disappointment in the name of Jesus. There's some of us, I sense it the first service, I'm sensing it even in the second service. You look at yourself and say, I am not worthy. God says that is a lie, straight from hell. You are more than worthy to walk on the path that He has for you. He calls you daughter. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. He calls you son. And right now, Father God, I come up and I break every lie that the enemy has, the foothold that the enemy has, I break that off in the name of Jesus. I smash it. I thank you for freedom, freedom in this house. I think that right now people are being set free, free from addictions. Right now, people are free from addictions in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, Father God, that people are free. Free from whatever the enemy has, any foothold. Though that unforgiveness, I pray right now that even unforgiveness has been resolved in Jesus' name. Whoever is struggling with unforgiveness, Holy Spirit is going to help you to set up a meeting to talk about the unforgiveness and bring resolution. I thank you for that now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I also thank you that eyes are opened. Eyes are opened. I thank you that ears are open. I thank you, Father God, that even, Lord, right now, that there is a new mind that is happening. Father God, I release the power of love upon every person. The sound mind. I thank you for a sound mind, Lord God. I come up against that whole trajectory of mental illness. I bind it in the name of Jesus. Because, Lord, you said that you have given us a sound mind. I release the sound mind on every person. And, Father, as we stand, I say thank you, Holy Spirit. Just there where you are and you stand and say thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping me. It's a holy moment. Heaven is moving. Heaven is moving. Put your hand on your heart. Everybody standing, put your hand on your heart. I want everybody, even those on the microphones, to declare this. Father, I choose to be bold. Come on, everybody, I choose to be bold. Right now, Father, I come up against the spirit of timidity. I come up against the spirit of timidity. I come up against that spirit of timidity. And I declare that the Lion of Judah is set free amongst every believer that is in this house. I declare right now that the boldness of the Lion of Judah is released in every single person. I thank you, Father God, that our eyes will see differently, our ears will hear differently, and our hearts will perceive differently. I thank you right now, Father God, for an infusion of boldness in this place. The old has gone, the new is here. The old is gone, and the new is here. It's a new day dawning, a new day dawning. Help us, Father. Lord God, I come and I seal this word. I seal this word with the blood of Jesus and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan, you will not steal, neither will you kill, neither will you destroy, because we are called and destined to live that life of abundance. And I declare abundance over every single person. Let heaven invade our space. Let heaven invade our workspace, our school space, our food space. Let heaven invade our relationships. I even right now declare where there's a lack financially, no more lack. Let heaven invade our finances, our bank accounts. Let heaven supernaturally be the provision. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are God who provides. Thank you that you are providing right now. Breakthrough is here. Baal Perazim is in the house. He is the God of the breakthrough. God of the breakthrough. God of the breakthrough. God of the breakthrough. Holy Spirit, help us not only hang on to God as the God of the breakthrough, but hang on to the model and walk the model that Jesus, the Son of Man, brought. And everybody who agreed said, amen and amen. Can we give God the most amazing come on, church. Come on, church. He is good. He is good.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.